This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
Welcome! How's everybody doing out there? Welcome to What the Puck? It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Did you guys miss me? I missed you guys. You know I did. And of course, the guy I missed the most, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm feeling a lot better. I'm doing a lot better.
That's good to know. You were being a bit of a baby last week. You made me go it alone, and it was a bit of a catastrophic event, but I think we came out okay, as long as you're not being a wuss.
You know what? I barely had a voice. It was I would have been very nasally. I had a lot of sinus pressure.
I'm sick right now. I got a sore throat. I got my tea that you can see. Oh, so I'm powering through. You know, I have a Nats mug.
That's a cool Walgreens mug. I like that.
Shut up. I kind of want to get an O's one with the same how it like the logo comes out. Uh-huh. I don't know if you can tell that here, but I haven't found one yet.
So I'll keep an eye out for you up here in Baltimore.
In orange or black, obviously.
Sure. Yeah.
It's got to be the Oriole bird or the O. This is great for podcasting, let me tell you. All right, let's move on. We'll talk about this later.
All right, yeah, we'll do that. Hey, I thought you did a good job last week by yourself.
Caps one. Thank you. It was frightening.
You know, I got a Caps Tervis. I don't have a mug, but you know what? It was weird being on the other end of it, of listening to a podcast and being like, I got stuff to say, but I can't. But anyway, I'm
back. The weird thing for me was answering your questions.
Right.
Or even asking you questions. And I was like asking questions, and I was like, wait, there's no one there to answer them. I'm talking to myself. Oh, yeah. So it was also kind of weird in that sense. Like, I was talking to myself and also kind of talking to other people, I guess, sort of as like a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was weird.
You did fine. When we got to do solo shows like that, I mean, it happens every once in a while, but we're both back. We're both here to talk about the Caps. So let's talk about the last week. The Capitals, they went up against the Canucks. Vancouver came to town. Then we went up against the Sabres, the Rangers, and the Columbus Blue Jackets. So big news. Well, not big news, but let's just talk about him. Mike Richards, we talked about him 2 weeks ago, about him coming to the team, saying whether it was a controversial move, whether it was a smart move. We're kind of giving the guy a second chance as he has a lot of this legal stuff going on. But on the ice so far this week, we have actually seen him play a game or two. He hasn't looked bad. It doesn't look like he's missed a step from all that time away from the ice. What are your thoughts on what you've seen from him? Has he impressed? Has he shown you anything that you weren't expecting from him?
I like what I've seen from Richards. I was expecting things didn't end well in LA, and not just because of the legal and illegal paraphernalia situations. But his play has dropped off in the last couple of years, and so there was some concern as to how much he really had left in the tank. And I think they did a good job of limiting his play the first game. And somewhat the first week, but he's done well. He's been on the PK. It doesn't seem like he's, you know, causing any problems in the locker room, not that he's had much time to do that anyways. So I like what I've seen so far. I see no reason to be concerned with him at this time, but it's still pretty early. But if anything, if he can come in and play well, I didn't imagine the trading deadline that they were going to go out and acquire someone that would be on the top two lines. They just don't have the need
right
for that, especially with the way that someone like Kuznetsov is playing on the second line. So the concern of the talk was always potentially, oh, then everything, I have some depth for the third and fourth line. They've done that now. If Richards is that guy and as cheap as he is, you know, they've made that move. So this team definitely has better depth now, especially down the middle. I mean, look at the centering spot. Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Beagle, Richards, Light can do it. Johansson's playing it. Burakovsky in a pinch could do it. He's done it before. Lotta can play center. Sill can come back up and play. I mean, they have a lot of freaking centers.
They do. And think about it. Just 2 years ago, 3 years ago, center was the biggest question mark they had. That was the big concern. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think that. Let me ask you this. When Richards played one of his games, I think it was his first game, they sat Brooks Like for a game. What did you think of that? I was a little surprised that Brooks was the one to sit in the press box.
I was myself considering that's a big old chunk of change sitting up there in the press box, but I think the Trot said he wanted to go with a lineup that was a little more physical, I guess. Who sure. was on? It was Sill and
Lotta. Was it Lotta?
Yeah, Sill and Lotta, yeah. And they sat Galiev and Like, and then in the Rangers game, he played, and he liked that lineup of Richards centering Sill and Lotta, and yeah. then he wanted more speed against the Rangers, so he had Like and Galiev on the outside. So I think he was just going more for the play style, and he wanted to get more physicality. Not that Like isn't physical, but I think Sill and Lotta are certainly more physical than he is. So he was looking for more physical lineup against the Sabres, and that worked out well. That game in general, not that line. But then he wanted more speed, and so Like got back. And part of me thinks that Like may not be on this team past the trading deadline or at the end of the season, or after the season, I should say.
Yeah, that was the next thing I wanted to bring up. That is, like you said, a lot of money to be sitting up in the press box.
A
lot of money to be playing on the fourth line, to be honest. I mean, you don't expect a guy of his pay grade to be on the fourth line getting so few minutes. So, I mean, he's a good, versatile player when he's healthy, and he has been healthy the last 2 years, but he can play. I mean, he played defense during one game. You've seen him on the wing. You've seen him on the center. Has he outgrown this team?
I think you phrased that backwards. I think it's the team has outgrown him to some extent.
Interesting.
It just sounds insulting, but I think the injury really, really affected his game more than any of us thought. I mean, part of me thinks that if he had never had that injury and he was still playing at the level that he was when they gave him that big contract, he'd be playing where Justin Williams is now.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thoughts on that. That's where I think he would be. So I think that financially how much he costs and where he's playing on this team and the fact that Richards came in and he's playing so well,
mm-hmm.
I think you save yourself that cap space and move him out and maybe bring in a different guy who can sit up in the press box and play occasionally that can provide you the same amount of skill set without costing quite as much.
Now, let me ask you this about Richards. I don't know a lot of his playing history. I know a little bit, but is he the type of guy that can go from being a center? Can he be a winger? Does he have that skill set that he can move around the line a little bit?
I don't really remember from Fly. As far as I remember, he's always been a center, and I don't think that they would put him anywhere else necessarily. My guess is because Trotz has said if Johansson keeps playing well on the third line, he's going to keep him there. If Beagle comes back and Johansson's playing well, my guess is Beagle and Richards. Beagle plays on the wing, and Richards is in the middle.
Okay, yeah, because that was the thing I was going to bring up. Beagle, he's out for 6 weeks. I mean, 6 weeks is not that long. We've already been through a couple of the weeks already. He's already out there. He's skating.
We've been almost 3 weeks, 4 weeks. He's about halfway there.
Yeah, we're about halfway there. He's already skating during practice, so he's staying fit out there.
And Carlson.
Him and then Orpik. He's like the ghost of Christmas past. He shows up every once in a while.
So harsh, true though.
But when Beagle comes back, you have Johansson finally, you know, looking like a big time player. You know, we've always said he's a top six guy, but he's doing really well on the third line centering it up. So you have Beagle come back. You don't want to move Johansson out of that spot. Do you move Beagle down to the fourth line and center that line up? Do you move him to the wing? What do you do with this? Because you're going to have a logjam when Beagle comes back. It's only a couple weeks away. Mike Richards, a good addition to the team, but in a couple weeks, you are going to have a problem that you're going to have to move somebody out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the easiest – they sent Sill down. Who's the other extra forward? I mean, at some point, it's either Galiev or Like. Wait, how many forwards are on the roster right now? So two in the press box and one – yeah. So they're going to have to send somebody down or trade at some point. My guess is either Galiev goes or Like goes. I don't imagine they're going to send Lotta away. I mean, why would you break up the combination of Lotta and Wilson, the dynamic? Although, let's give credit to Lotta, by the way, for jumping in after some schmuck from Columbus was going after Marcus Johansson. You know what that reminded me of? Do you remember years ago when Steve Downey went after Ovechkin in Tampa?
Uh-huh.
And Ovechkin, because Steve Downey's a douchebag, and Ovechkin dropped the gloves, and Matt Bradley
left the bench!
No, but that's not it. He yelled at a Capital to get off the ice so he could jump on so that he wouldn't get a suspension for that. if I remember that correctly. He dumped on the ice legally and then went to go after Downey, seeing what was happening. Lotta may be the new Matt Bradley.
He very, very much so. He definitely could be.
That's
there.
What I when I saw that play happen. That's exactly what came to my head. That's what I thought. I was like, huh, that's just like what Matt Bradley did, or very similar to what Matt Bradley did. So I think he's getting a lot. I think they like him on the fourth line, and giving him the night off every once in a while. I think either Like or Galiev definitely go.
I mean, Galiev could go on waivers and then go to Hershey. That, I mean, that is potential.
Now, see, I think somebody will pick him up. I don't think they want to lose him for nothing. I mean, they've hung on to him and put a lot of work into him for this long.
Right.
I think they'll hang on to him and try to get something for him. Or package him in a draft pick for a third or fourth line, you know, someone who could jump in on the third line or play on the fourth line, pushing you into the playoffs. A veteran, I don't know, winger, I guess.
Right.
That's my guess. But they have to. I mean, they're going to have to move a couple of guys out.
Because
when Beagle comes back, someone's got to go.
Yeah,
right.
And that,
you're not going to have three healthy forwards sitting in the press box.
Yeah, you can't do that. I mean, you don't have the money for it. You don't have the roster space for it. It's going to be interesting in the next couple of weeks to see what happens. And like, do you sit Beagle for a little bit? You know, he's been out for so long now with this injury. Do you have him sit down for a little bit because the team is playing so well? Do you not want to break up that rhythm? I think that happened with Fair. Last season, he didn't start the season off, or he wasn't playing well at the beginning of the season. And Trotz had him sit for almost a month, and just had him kind of wait there as the team was getting better without him. So it'll be intriguing to see what Trotz and everybody else decides to do in a couple weeks. But as for right now, you know, the Caps, they did have a loss since we spoke. It was kind of an oddity game up in
ugly game
up in Buffalo. So the Caps are allowed to have, I guess, one hiccup every once in a while. But let's talk about Braden Holtby. Braden Holtby,
what about him?
Pulled himself out of a game due to having a massive migraine and also for being dehydrated.
He's an idiot. No, he's not an idiot. But, like, yeah, he was dehydrated. He couldn't – he was not seeing double, but, like, his peripheral vision was getting bad, and he knew something was wrong. And it was weird because I remember – I was listening on – it was Sunday night, right? Or the Sunday – yeah, like late afternoon, 5 evening
o'clock.
Game. So I'm on my way to my indoor soccer game, and I hear John Walton talk about Holtby's leaving, and I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
This is the one player you can't afford to lose. And then he's like, but he's walking normally. And the trainer didn't really ask him about, like, what's wrong? Is it here? Is it this? Is it that? He just kind of went back, and I was like, he's got to go to the bathroom. He just left because he's got to take a dump. Like, that's what's going on here. He's got to drop a deuce. No, but it was, that would have been funny. Holtz, but it wasn't.
Did you have Chipotle before you got on the ice?
Like, how awkward would that be when he comes to the bench? Like, what's wrong with you? I gotta go. Where are you gonna go? Don't make me say it, man. Like, just come on. I gotta go. I gotta go
to the locker room with the.
I had some Taco Bell. It didn't sit well with me. I need to go. Okay, can you put an hour in for 5 minutes? I can go, maybe 10. So I can go to the bathroom. Give me a magazine.
Yeah.
No, so yeah, I mean, he was a little sick, and yeah, apparently I read today he goes through something like 17 to 20 ounces, gallons of water.
I think they said gallons, because like a
normal water. I remember years ago that a goalie in a normal game can lose like 3 pounds to 5 pounds in like water weight in a game.
Well, like, I totally believe that, because you look at – they're wearing –
that's not sound healthy at all.
No, not at all, but they're wearing the most equipment. They're doing a lot of stretching, a lot of movement. So, I mean, that can't be easy to do. I can understand that going on. The reason I'm bringing this up, though, is because, like, I'm not going to be like, Holtby, how dare you take yourself out? I think it's awesome that he took himself out knowing something was wrong. I've never seen that before. Have you ever seen a goalie just go up to the trainer and be like, look, I gotta sit this out for a little bit? I remember – do you remember a couple of years ago, the Atlanta Thrashers, they opened up the season with the Capitals, and their goalie just collapsed?
Yeah, Andrej Pavlik.
Yeah.
He's still there, right?
I think he's still there, yeah.
Was it in Atlanta, or was it Winnipeg? Were they back?
No, it was 100% Atlanta. I think it was
their last season in Atlanta. It was the first game of the season. Yeah. I remember he collapsed. I mean, I've seen goalies that have had an injury, and they've, like, waved someone out or been like, hey, come help me, or they do something, but I can't remember if I've ever seen a guy who was like, something's wrong, I need to get out of the game. But I imagine that most goalies would do that, and it's definitely a heads-up play to be able to look at what's going on and be like, I am going to hurt the team more than help right now.
Yeah, Holpe's very smart.
I'm going to remove myself. And props to Grubauer for coming in and playing great, apparently.
Yeah, Grubauer did very well. Let me ask you this. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. He is still a backup, so there's always going to be a little bit of rust on him. Let me ask you this, though. What if this would have happened last season? Do you think the team and the fan base would have been as confident as they were this past game when Grubauer came in if he was being backed up by Justin Peters? Do you think they would have been like, all right, now we're losing. We're done now.
No, I don't think they would have been quite as confident in Peters. And just because he didn't have this skill set. Or, I mean, apparently he's doing decent in Hershey, and so, I don't know, I'd like to go up and see him in a game. But I think the 1-2 punch of Holpe and Grubauer has been very helpful for this team. And remember, we talked about this a while ago. I don't even remember what we were talking about at the time, but we talked about last year with the Rangers, how they had Lundqvist, and then when he went down, Cam Talbot was playing. And he was playing great, too. And you like your team, when you have these injuries, you struggle and you keep going forward and pushing through, even though you have these injuries. We've seen that. We saw the Rangers last year.
Right.
We're seeing that with the Caps right now. They've lost their top pairing defensemen, not one, but two, in Orpik and Carlson, and they're still rolling. They've lost their third line center. They've been playing great. They've lost guys in the middle of games. They lost, what was it, Beagle and Backstrom in the same freaking game? They lost two of their four centers in the same game, and they're still playing well. And that's what good teams do. That's what teams can win in the playoffs can do, is that they lose players to injury, and you're still able to push forward by bringing guys up from the minors or having guys in the press box that will step in and play that role.
Yeah, and our buddy Phil, who we've mentioned on the show before, he texted me last night because he was watching the Rangers game, and their announcer was talking about all the different stuff going on in the league, and they're like, and the Capitals are in Columbus, and wow, it's 5-2 or 5-1 or something. Like, wow, they'll kill you. Those guys will kill you no matter what. They've got people coming from all over the place taking you out. They're a dangerous team. So the NHL is definitely taking notice.
Not the beginning of their Columbus game.
No, no. But they were.
That was not pretty.
No, it wasn't. But they were able to come back and stay the course. So you're bringing up minor league guys. What did you think of Sill and Ness? Were you impressed with them at all? I wasn't, you know, taken aback by them. I didn't think like, oh my god, why are they in the minors? These guys need to be.
I like
up.
Ness.
So, I liked Ness. What do you think of
Sill?
I
think Sill did what was asked of him. He gets himself into trouble a little bit with that suspension, but I liked what I saw from. I like what I saw from Ness. I liked him. He's a little smaller. He's more of like a puck handler kind of guy, and will jump into the offensive rush more. But I like I like the depth. I prefer they don't get suspended, but I like the depth.
Everyone was really excited when they saw that Sill and Ness were being sent down because they thought that meant that someone had been magically healed and was coming back. But really, they were sent back down to Hershey because it's that 10-game it's that 10-game rule where they can't be up longer than 10 games or they have to get waived. So now they're being down, and none of the guys are coming back from injury reserve yet, which is sad.
Well, my guess is that we're going to see Carlson relatively soon.
Did we ever figure out what was the matter with Carlson?
No.
We still don't know.
I'm going to look it up right now. They never tell you.
Is it upper body or is it lower body?
It's
one of the two.
I don't remember. Wait, no, it was, wasn't it lower body? It's the same as Orpik. Not necessarily the injury, but the part of his.
The part of the body?
Part of the body. Now, lower body injury. No, it doesn't say in this article from the Post, who's the woman whose name we can't pronounce. He didn't play. Yeah, they say one play. Trotz said he's fine, getting closer. As soon as he says he's ready to go, he's going in. I think it'll be a couple skates in here, and he should be fine. My guess is, without looking at the schedule, he'll be back. Not the next game, but the one after that. No, wait. That might not be possible, given what's coming our way.
Uh-oh.
I have to imagine that. No, wait. They have a game Sunday at 12:30 against the Penguins.
Yeah, that
after a major snowstorm.
The storm that may still be going on.
It was that's true. Years ago, it was the same thing. We had a major snowstorm started like Saturday morning or late Friday night, and then they played the Penguins Sunday morning.
It was a Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday. It was Super Bowl Sunday, and the Caps came back to win that game. They were down like 4-1, 3-1, 4-1, and they came back to win in overtime. Here we go again. No, that Friday game against Anaheim, I don't know if that's going to be happening.
Oh, yeah, that'll happen. That'll happen.
You think that won't happen?
The storm ain't going to hit here bad until at least midnight. So,
all right, never mind.
Yeah.
So, well, damn, now I want to go to that game.
But do you remember the blizzard of 2010 in the Maryland, D.C. area? And it was the same kind of thing. It was a Friday night into Sunday, and there was a big talk about whether or not the Caps-Penguins game was going to happen because the Penguins couldn't fly into.
Yeah, I think we're talking about the same game. Yeah, they took the train.
No, but it wasn't the Super Bowl. It wasn't that same weekend. It was around the same time of year.
I'm gonna look it up.
Because I remember shoveling the walk and being like, oh, it's 12:30. I'm going to go finish the walk later. I got a Caps game to watch. And I left shoveling the walk till the end of the game because I wasn't going to miss it. But
no, I'm pretty sure we're talking about the same game, and I think that was Super Bowl Sunday because I remember that we had lost power all day Saturday, and my father said that if we don't have power back by Sunday, we're going to a hotel so we can watch the Super Bowl.
What Super Bowl was it? Was it even a good one?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Wait. It was in February. That's not it.
It was called the Snovechkin Storm.
Yeah, I do remember that.
The Snovechkin.
They kept showing it on the broadcast. They were like, look, and we're like, guys, we got it. There's snow on the ground. Stop bringing it up.
I'm trying to look through my Facebook photos because I know I took a bunch
of
pictures.
I'm looking through their old schedule trying to find it. Maybe it wasn't that many years ago.
I can't find it. That's no good.
Wait, is that? No, that's in Pittsburgh. All right, screw it. Whatever. I don't know. But I remember it happening, and I'm pretty sure it was Super Bowl Sunday.
Let's see. It was February 8th. Oh, yeah. So I guess it was the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Good call.
Go. Somebody, I don't remember who played. Yeah. I don't care.
All right. So what else do we have to talk about with the Caps here? They've looked good. You know, we've always talked about potential stuff coming up. The last couple games, they've only gotten one loss, got wins against big rivals like the Rangers and Columbus. Columbus really not looking like they're going to impact the playoffs in any way. But up against the Rangers, they look pretty good. Anything else we got to cover?
I mean, not really. The team recalled Ryan Stanton to play since they sent Ness down. My guess is he goes down once Carlson's ready. And then who would sit up in the press? Yeah, he'd be going. So, yeah, so that would work. And then I have to imagine Carlson's coming back soon. Orpik's still out. Who knows if he's, you know, still alive. No one knows what's going on. No, he's alive. And Beagle should be back soon. But otherwise, I mean, the team's rolling right now. You stay hydrated. Then they're doing. I mean, Richards has looked good. He almost had his goal. That would have been nice. And the Rangers game, yeah, the one that to Antti Rata.
I don't know.
What the hell is his name again? 17 A's in his name. The guy was 17 A's. He like reached back and knocked it away, and I was like, damn, that was a nice save. But damn you for making it, because Richards could have had his first goal as a Cat. Team's rolling right now. No major concerns right now, except for the fact that they're still a concern. But the team's playing well, even with them, and that's what good teams do. You have injuries, you deal with them by having players that are able to fill that role as well as the other guys are doing it. I mean, they lost their top pairing defenseman, both of them, and they're still rolling like it doesn't even matter. Schmidt has become phenomenal, and apparently he's a goofy dude. So. Yeah, that's fun too.
Schmitty's a goofy guy. I think you can just kind of tell by looking at him. Do you remember when Ben Raby, I think it was a year or two ago, interviewed him, and when he came back on the radio, he was like, that was my interview with Chuckles McLaugh, Nate Schmidt.
No, I'm usually watching on TV, so I'm going to listen to Walton quite as often as I would like to, but that does sound apparently like Nate Schmidt. Apparently he's a bit of a goofy dude.
Yeah. All right, so I think that's pretty much it for Caps World. We are going to take a quick break, and we will be back with Down on the Farm. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck?
What the Puck
is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 2-0-1 with wins over Lehigh Valley, their favorite team to play, and Springfield, but then they lost in overtime to Springfield the next night.
Oh.
It's kind of interesting when teams play back-to-back games in the same arena. Like, you know that next game, people are going to be like, anyways, so the Bears will be back at it with back-to-back-to-back games starting on Friday in Binghamton with Saturday and Sunday at the Giants Center against their favorite, Lehigh Valley, and Bridgeport. Seriously, it's ridiculous how much they play Lehigh Valley. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 0-3 with losses to Atlanta and 2 to Alaska. The Stingrays are currently going through a 5-game losing streak. Things are not going very well down in South Carolina. Hopefully they break that soon because it's getting a little ugly. They'll be back at it with 2 home games, one on Friday against Atlanta and Saturday against Greenville. Now let's jump back up to Hershey, where the Bears signed veteran NHL center Scott Gomez to a professional tryout agreement. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of weird sounding. Gomez won 2 cups in New Jersey and was recently released by the St. Louis Blues after clearing waivers. He played in both games against Springfield, recording no points and 2 shots on net. So who knows if he'll be sticking around, but I don't anticipate this is a guy that the Caps are going to look at. They would have to buy his contract should Hershey sign him to one to then bring him up in the future. I don't anticipate that being the case, but you never know. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, very cool, very cool. So go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, how's it going? We are going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff going on besides what the Capitals are doing, dominating the NHL. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Let's start out west, where Los Angeles signed center Andre Kopitar to an 8-year extension. Now, while financial terms were not released by the team, TSN reported that it's for a total of $80 million. Holy crap. That comes out to a cap hit of $10 million. A season. He got paid very well. Edmonton signed goalie Cam Talbot to a 3-year extension. Now, again, team did not release the financial terms, but TSN reported that it's for a total of $12.5 million with a cap hit of $4.17. Impressive for him. Something is going on in New Jersey because this week 2 players were in trouble for misbehaving.
Uh-oh.
First, I don't know if you saw this one, but you should go check it out because this is a real dick move on this guy's part. Forward Bobby Farnham, that's an interesting name, was suspended for 4 games for interference against St. Louis forward Dmitry Jaskin. Farnham, he got upended moments before by defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk and had zero reason to go after Jaskin. And he didn't just like hit him. He freaking got up, skated a bunch, and leveled the dude. Jeez. A good couple, like 3 or 4 seconds after he got rid of the puck. Like no reason whatsoever. Just went up and punked him. It's ridiculous, and he definitely deserved a suspension. That was a dick move on his part. Then, forward Jordan Tutu, I don't know if it's the same game, he got fined $2,000 for diving slash embellishment, so he's a cheater. And I think he's been caught before in his career. A couple of trades went down as Pittsburgh sent forward David Perron and defenseman Adam Glendening to Anaheim for forward Carl Hagelin. I'm surprised because when Pittsburgh got Perron for Edmonton, he was on a roll. He didn't do well in Pittsburgh, so now he's out west with Anaheim. Hopefully fixing that team because they got some problems. Here's the most interesting trade, and it gets really confusing. In the three – well, not part of the trade, but the things going on afterwards. I'm sure you'll understand what I'm talking about in just a second. In the 3-team trade, Arizona sent winger slash defenseman John Scott and defenseman all-star John Scott and defenseman Victor Bartley, whom they acquired from Nashville for defenseman Stefan Elliott, to Montreal for defenseman Jared Tenorti, son of former Capital Mark Tenorti, and forward Stefan Fournier. John Scott will now be allowed by the NHL to captain the Pacific team at the All-Star game even though he is now part of the Canadiens organization, who are in the Atlantic Division. Scott is currently playing for the Canadiens minor league affiliate in St. John's in Newfoundland.
Wait, so an NHL All-Star is playing in the AHL? Is that what you just said?
So here's what everyone thinks happened, where the NHL was kind of a bunch of, you know, the NHL. So Scott got elected by the fans, even though he would not be an All-Star in any other sense, right? So the fans voted him the captain of the Pacific team. The thought was the NHL was going to ask him to, politely decline being an All-Star or whatever the nonsense is. And apparently he said no. So then the Arizona sent him to the minors and then traded him. But now the NHL, I guess they got a lot of backlash, and now they're like, okay, we'll let him do it. So yeah, that's the news for the past week in the NHL, and it's been weird.
That's a really weird situation.
If you're gonna let the fans pick, then whoever they pick gets to be in the game.
Yeah, if you can't get mad if you give the fans the power, like,
don't like then try and be sketchy about it and be like, well, we didn't want that guy. And it's like, it doesn't matter what you want. Fans, you made the call.
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense. So,
I don't know, man. I don't know.
All right, well, let's look forward to this week. Besides everyone in the Baltimore, D.C. metro area getting a giant blizzard, yeah, calling for
duck
24 inches of snow, we're going to be buried.
All right, slow down. We're not getting that much.
We're going to get 36 inches of snow.
That is also just blatantly not true.
We're getting Winnipeg levels of snow. Well, that's what I'm going to say, Winnipeg what? Levels.
That doesn't even make sense.
It's snowy up there. It's the Great White North, eh? But we're going to be snowed in, and that means hockey to watch if the teams can get to the arena. Because,
and if we have electricity.
That is also key. But the Capitals, they're home for like 2 weeks straight. So we got a couple games. We only got two games to talk about until our next show, but they're going to be some biggies. So on Friday, January 22nd, the Capitals are going to watch the snow fall, and the Ducks are flying into town. That's right, the Anaheim Ducks, Bruce Boudreaux's coming back to town. That game is on Comcast Sportsnet, locally the NHL Network across the U.S. That game is at 7 o'clock. Then on Sunday, January 24th, big, big broadcast TV time on NBC. The Capitals face off against those pesky Penguins.
Boo!
At 12:30 in the afternoon.
Too much?
Never a good sign for the Capitals to play an afternoon game, but given how the Capitals have played this season, I honestly don't think like that's really going to affect them in any way. They had a hard time with afternoon games last year. This year, all bets are off. I mean, the Capitals can come back from anything. But what do you think? All right. Also, before I ask you, I'll ask you this first. The Penguins are coming to town. The Penguins are coming to town.
Trouble over there.
Yeah, I had too many thoughts going through my head.
Okay, I got you.
Doing this one first. With the Penguins coming to town to D.C., all signs point to them having a game right now. Again, Sunday, things could change due to the weather, but right now, it all looks like the Caps-Penguins is going to happen. What is your thoughts now with Sidney Crosby finally waking up this season? Are the Penguins coming in with a little bit more of a little bit more steam behind them than they would have in the past?
I don't know. I mean, the Penguins, they're struggling so much right now.
They're struggling, but you got Crosby finally waking up. I mean, what did he get? He got two goals in one game recently. I mean, it's better than what he's been doing. He's not even an All-Star this year.
How dare he not be? It's like, who cares? He gets to go home and rest. Like, it's like, you're like, great for being an All-Star, but just don't get hurt. Like, that's the thing. You just don't want the players to get hurt. That's the worst thing that can happen for the Caps right now. So, you know, it's always going to be sort of a highly contested game, but the Ovechkin-Crosby rivalry is non-existent.
It's over.
It's just definitely mellowed to a point where there's so many other very good, talented players that you can market that it's not just about those two guys.
It's over until the playoffs happen and the Caps-Penguins happens in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, I think they have to make the playoffs first, buddy.
I mean, they're
not talking about the Capitals. I think they can go 500 the rest of the way and still come out with a phenomenal points total.
I like it. That's what I think is going to happen.
Are they in the playoffs right now?
The Capitals?
The Penguins?
Penguins?
No, with the Penguins.
I think they're in the eighth spot, if I'm not mistaken.
No, they're on the outside looking in. are two games. Okay, so if the playoffs started today, the Caps would be playing the Devils in the first round. So it would be Metropolitan would be the Caps versus the Devils and the Rangers and the Islanders. Ooh, that would be interesting, the battle in New York City. And then Florida would Florida would take on Boston. Go Boston. And Detroit would take on Tampa Bay. Didn't they play each other last year?
That was the finals of the Eastern Conference, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, that was that was Rangers Tampa Bay, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a set. But
Detroit Tampa is interesting because you got Yzerman as the GM of the struggling or the everyone apparently wants to leave Tampa, by the way, because Jonathan Drouin wants out and St. Louis left and Stamkos is probably but Ottawa is 1 point behind New Jersey. Montreal is 1 point behind Pittsburgh's two. Flyers are 3 points out, as is Carolina's only 3 points out of the playoff spot. And then there's Buffalo, Toronto, and Columbus is just like waving from below.
Interesting. Well, we got a couple more months until that all gets ironed out. Capitals are
looking good. We're nowhere near that being a concern at the moment.
No, but the reason, guys, we are only going to talk about those Friday and Sunday game is because we'll be doing our podcast on Tuesday night due to the fact that there is a game for Wednesday night rivalry night on NBC Sports with the Capitals and Flyers. So we will be doing a show on Tuesday, releasing said show on Wednesday. So you can look for What the Puck to be a day early next week. So definitely want to check that one out, guys. After that Wednesday game, that's kind of crazy because after Wednesday, we'll be back to that next Wednesday, and there will be two games to talk about that week. So they got a nice little break Tuesday to almost the next week in their schedule. But we will be back.
It's a weird season.
It's been a weird season for their schedule.
Schedule-wise, it doesn't make any freaking sense.
Yeah. But anyway, if you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, we are both on the Twitter. On the Twitter machine.
The Twitter.
TWITTAH. Yes, Twitter. Exactly. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash and Coach Dan. Where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. You can also check out some of my old work, and you should always check out this website, CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, you haven't gotten any recently, have you?
I got nothing, man. I got nothing.
Unacceptable.
I got nothing.
I haven't been to a game in a while, so I can't tell you if they have any of those ones that you wanted.
I haven't been to a game at all this year. You know, I haven't even been to one game this year. I'm so sad. And now they're doing well, and it's so expensive, I can't afford it.
Yeah, I know. It's almost like I missed the days where they sucked, because you'd be like, I go to games, they're $10.
I know.
Now I got to go to games, and it's $100.
In my day.
In my day, they were terrible. No, you should check it out and check out the bobbleheads. It's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment, all the podcast photos and videos we put out into the world. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. And go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Go over to Twitter at WTP_podcast. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. Be a part of our insider group on Twitter and Facebook, and all you got to do is like us. Now, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, you stream, and you download on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. All of those places, you could listen to the show like 6 times on all those different platforms, and it would still all be free. That's right. Completely free. We do it for free. You download it for free. All we ask in return for giving you this free content is to please spread the word about What the Puck. We are all friends here in Caps World, and just help a brother out and tell people on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web. Say, I'm a Caps fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Guys, enjoy the Caps hockey. Be safe if you are on the East Coast listening to this, and you got the big blizzard coming to town. Make sure you stock up. Get all the essentials at the grocery store, like beer and Redbox movies and Netflix and chill. All right, so that is it for the show this week.
That got weird real quick.
All right. All right, guys. We'll talk to you later. Everybody say it loud. Say it proud. Let's go, Caps. Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.